Are we going to do our NPR voices? Hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and the only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll.
And my name is Cody Johnston.
And joining us today is our friend and colleague, Katie Golden.
Hello, it's me, Katie Golden, here on Even More News. Today, we're talking about birds.
And this has been the NPR section of today's podcast.
What a fun little bit we just did.
I love how everybody on an NPR show, which I love, this is not a shade to NPR, sounds like Muppets or ASMR.
They're very unique.
Practitioners.
There is the standard, like, hello, welcome. But, like, every other person has a very, very unique Muppety voice, and it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Before we get started, I want to announce that today is National Depression Screening Day, which is part of Mental Health Awareness Month, which all seems very important at any point in time, but especially right now when we're all under a lot more anxiety and stress. Depression is running high. There's more suicides happening. We've always been really transparent and open about mental health here, which we think is really important to help destigmatize it and normalize discussion. Recently, I've definitely been struggling. I would say, I don't think that that's a secret. My anxiety has been really high, which definitely contributes to my depression. And I took medication a long time ago, Prozac, and I ultimately stopped. And I'd been thinking about getting back on it. And I tweeted about it. I tweeted about what people's experiences are like on Wellbutrin versus Zoloft, I think, or Lexapro. And I was just so overwhelmed with everybody's responses. And it felt really supportive and nice. And I was really grateful for that opportunity to share and like hear people's experiences. And so thank you to everybody who chimed in. I ended up deleting that tweet, which I regret because I'm sitting here talking about normalizing the conversation. But I was getting a lot of messages from people in my life saying, are you okay? And that caused its own kind of anxiety. So I deleted it, but then I felt bad.
No,
because
don't feel bad. It's all right. You can like, you can have a conversation with people. That doesn't mean that you are required to keep it online forever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I just know that then I saw some messages from people being like, thank you for having that up there. And then, oh, where did it go? That's where it went. I deleted it because of that.
Also, like, if you, I don't know, if you ask for advice and then you get your advice, you can get rid of it. It's fine.
Anyway, that's just me sharing that story as part of this conversation and to encourage you, if you're feeling bad, if it's feeling worse than normal, to talk to somebody and explore some options, because for a lot of us, significant help is closer than it seems. You know, it's a kind of a few steps away, and then time to let those things start to sink in. But you know, it's there for us if you need it.
Yeah. So shout out to all my fellow folks that have OCD during a global pandemic.
Oh man,
good times.
Oh,
celebrate it's good times. Oh yeah, that's how that song is.
Yeah,
it is how that
the attitude also
a song with a conviction. Frozen smile. Mm-hmm. Real quick, I just want to say thanks to ExpressVPN.
Thanks to the thanking part, which is this part where we thank ExpressVPN for supporting Even More News, the show that is this one. If you don't think much about internet privacy on your own home network, ExpressVPN will secure your privacy and protect your information. Visit expressvpn.com/morenews and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package.
Okay, ad is done. Katie, before we talk about the news, hi, hello,
hi.
How are you?
Good. For some reason, I've been in a very good mood over the past, I'm going to say, 5 days, 6 days?
Oh, I wonder why. Maybe even 7 days.
No, it's ineffable. It's ineffable. It's just this, it feels like this weight, like this cosmic weight has been lifted from my shoulders as if there's, you know, some sort of almost like I don't want to say justice, but event, mm-hmm. poetic event that has occurred.
Some cosmic
like
karma.
Like some sort of like microscopic force.
Right.
That is sort of like lifting some sort of mm-hmm. weight.
It's as if some sort of small microscopic entity has entered into the body of what is causing my anxiety and is trying to take it down from the inside.
Yeah.
So it's like a little, like it's like you've got some reinforcements, like
right.
like somebody's out there helping you.
I like that Trump has COVID. I like that, oh, like that Trump has COVID. Okay,
it's
okay.
Trump's COVID. Yeah, I thought you were talking about midichlorians. COVID.
Right, okay. No, it's good and cool. I like that he has COVID. It makes me feel good, and I'm not afraid, or I'm not ashamed
I'm not ashamed,
that.
I'm proud of it.
No shame.
Katie, if you guys haven't seen it yet, we have a new video out this week all about
that.
Trump getting the COVID and why it's okay to enjoy that, mm-hmm. Which Katie...
Yeah.
Wrote for us.
She expresses these opinions in great detail.
And we're really grateful for that. Katie, you had been working on another script and trying to update it.
That's right.
When all of this happened. And then you pivoted on a dime and turned this script out, which was so incredible. How's that like? Was that like trying to make videos in the time? It just blows my mind sometimes.
I feel like if it were any other topic, it would have been more difficult, given that it's not as if I was going to spend the weekend doing anything other than being glued to
sure.
the news and Twitter and absorbing everything. So it was just the extra step of actually turning that into a script. And it's also, you know, reflects my personal feelings of when people are saying, oh, you should pray and hope and pray for his recovery, his swift recovery, so he can get back to detaining immigrants in concentration camps, giving people COVID, and, you know, all the other horrible things he does. You know, oh, remember, like, forced hysterectomies. That's all great. Let's get him back in office so he can help out with that. One thing they did while he was in the hospital is they had, I didn't mention this in the script, although I had thought about it, is they want to reduce the number of refugees coming to America. Mm-hmm. Again, just total cruelty. It doesn't even catch their stride. They will just continue to be cruel, authoritarian wannabes. And so to say, like, oh, you gotta wish them well. You gotta hope.
Right, right.
You gotta pray
for them. Be a decent person.
Like, yeah, write them a card. Come on.
I don't, like, I'm not, you know, I of course I feel squeamish with the idea of, you know, wishing
someone
harm, but I think it's a little different when that person is literally the president of the United States and he's using his power to try to be Hitler. It's, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And it's also, I think what we said in the video too, it's just so... I don't want to say karma for a number of reasons, but it's poetic. It's poetic justice in a very strictly logical way. He flouted rules and regulations that may have protected him and his staff from COVID. He's been telling everyone else not to worry about it. He's directly responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths so far. So for him to get it through his own direct actions, like he would tell his staff, like, oh, take that stupid thing off your face mm-hmm. when they try to wear masks. It makes total scientific sense. And I don't feel bad at all that he got it. Like, I feel bad
I feel bad for
the family members of his staff that are going to get it mm-hmm. because of this.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the White House staff, like janitors and,
yes.
You know, just... ordinary people who are working at the White House
yeah.
who now are going to get it. I mean, they've already started testing positive. They don't get named in the media because I
yeah.
guess
two housekeepers.
Them.
Yeah.
Two quote housekeepers. They don't get a name, I
yeah.
guess. They're not important enough to have their names revealed. And like, and he just blamed the families of dead soldiers recently, even though I think that event happened before the Rose Garden super spreader event. He's like, oh yeah, you know, I had to hug them and stuff. And it's, but again,
yeah.
it's ignoring this thing of, well, you could have given them COVID. It's not just like,
yes.
oh, you know, I'm not afraid of getting COVID if it means hugging Americans. It's like, no, but you could give them COVID and kill them.
Yeah.
That's what diseases. We've kind of covered germ theory enough, I think, for that concept to be understandable.
I think he's incapable of viewing things like that.
Because he's a narcissist.
It's very frustrating. Even Mitch McConnell is like, yeah, I'm not going to go to the White House. I'm trying to be safe.
I had that for later. He's been avoiding it for months because he doesn't want to get COVID.
Yep.
But I agree. It's like, look, still plenty of time for something wild to happen between now and the election. But it does feel there is some shift energetically around us that I feel right now since he got a little bit of that, you know, poetic justice.
It's a little
it's not that things have abated. It doesn't change any of the things that we have to do between now and election day. But it does feel a little bit like finally we got to win.
Yeah.
It's like when I've watched basketball for a few weeks now. So now I'm a basketball fan and I could talk about basketball. But there is a shift that happens. The underdog just looks sloppy and they're running around and then they get a move. They get a basket. They have a beautiful play and there's an energetic shift and all of a sudden they're on fire. And I've seen it happen a bunch, so now I'm an expert. And that is what it feels like right now, and I'm going with that.
Yeah. And this is the time for that too, getting down to the wire. It's also something about, aside from like just the ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha of it all, it exposes even more... not people to the virus, though, yes, but it exposes his incompetence and callousness to people. He's losing traction with like seniors and people who view what he's doing as grossly irresponsible and pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
And I like every single time anything happens that Trump does or says, people are like, oh, he's finished, we got him. And it's never ever true. You can constantly go back to that tweet from I think 2016. My God. Let's see, old Donald Trump wriggle his way out of this one. He wriggles his way out of it. Ah, yes, nevertheless, it's that. But this is something that really, really impacts people's lives in a material, like a very personal way. It's not an abstract thing. A lot of the things that Trump does to a lot of Americans, they're abstract. They're not connected to them. They're other people.
Certain populations of people, I think that's important. I know that's what you mean, Cody, but like it's I think, important to point out a lot of people, politics may be theoretical because you're just not actually directly impacted by it as much as other people, or at least you don't think you are. Like you really are.
Yes,
it's just a long-term impact that you will feel eventually. But the way, you know, when politics just affect people who are below the poverty line, or people who are immigrants, or people who are not white, or, you know, so it's like it's sometimes like, oh, you know, I don't like politics. I don't like getting involved in politics. Well, that's just because you're lucky enough that politics doesn't actually directly affect you right now.
Instantly.
Right. It's all effect. I mean, the fact that global warming is just this looming threat and nuclear war is always a looming threat does actually mean it does affect everyone. But we don't necessarily immediately feel it. The pandemic is a unique situation where we all immediately feel it. Obviously not at equal levels. I mean, you only need to look at how people in Black communities get sick and die of the virus more than other communities because of the lack of healthcare in these communities to see that it is an unequal thing. But it is something that does, as we can see with the president getting COVID, it does in some way affect everyone.
Okay, I want to do a soft pivot to Trump saying he won't attend virtual debate.
Well, it's a waste of his time. He has to call into Fox News and yell for an hour.
If you guys missed this today the debate commission announced that next week's debate would be turned into a virtual event, which is a very great call. I'm not sure if you guys had this reaction, but last night, you know, the moderator was Susan. Like, the next week's debate will be a town hall. And I was like, what? He's got coronavirus.
He's got it.
He's saying that he's cured, but he doesn't. He hasn't got it.
But guys, didn't you hear he's not contagious? He said, oh, okay. Because he says he's not contagious. He also told Fox, quote, "I'm back because I'm a perfect physical specimen."
Buddy.
I almost did a spit take into my mouth.
The way President. He talks about people and their bodies is so gross and very eugenics-y. Like,
oh, yeah.
He loves talking about we got good genes. Like, calling himself a perfect physical specimen is just so yucky.
He does it really, all the time.
It really is.
It's yucky, and then it also has been being like, ew, and then being like, oh, that's, you're like down an evil path. My friend.
Right.
Like, it's really, really fucked up how much he has talked about that kind of stuff.
Right.
But also, it's like, gross, man.
But also, coward. Not going to do the goddamn virtual debate.
I mean, obviously he doesn't want to. I mean, it's so obvious, right?
That we know you'll be bad.
He just doesn't want to debate Biden, which is pretty funny because it's not like Biden is the most amazing debater in the entire world. He's not
very good at it.
He still comes off better than Trump when Trump just goes on a rant for like, you know, it is funny to me that he's afraid of debating Biden. I don't want to get people upset or anything. I'm voting for Biden. Obviously Biden's a much better choice than Trump by infinity amount, but like he's just, you know,
it's okay.
He's not great.
It's okay. This is a safe podcast to criticize one of the two people trying to be the president of the United States.
Okay, thank you. I just don't want people to say that I secretly want Trump to win because I don't think Biden's a great debater.
Well, that's, you know, your words. You said it out loud, so
demonstrably bad at debating. We've seen him debate so much this year. Against Trump, sure, but against
other better debaters.
50,000 other people vying for this position. So, well, it's not news.
Right.
No, it's not.
But it is funny that he's afraid to debate that guy. The other thing, Katie, you mentioned that we should probably touch on is Mike Lee.
Yes.
His tweet. Mike Lee, you might know as being the person, the haver of COVID.
Yeah, the COVID haver.
The COVID haver and a hater of democracy, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah.
He said the quiet part loud today when he tweeted, "Democracy isn't the objective. Liberty, peace, and prosperity."
Prosperity, yes.
Prosperity. We want the human condition to flourish. Rank democracy can thwart that.
Yeah.
Also, he tweeted later that we're not a democracy.
Yeah. It's the child internet game of being like, actually it's a constitutional republic. Okay, but like,
no, but what's funny about that is I know what you're talking about, Cody, where it's like, we're not just a democracy, we're a democratic republican or what. No, yeah. democratic republic. And but like to
we're
just
constitutional
say
republic, yeah.
But to say we're not a democracy period is actually not true, because we are.
It's a form of democracy.
Yeah, it is a form of democracy.
That's literally why we have representatives. That's the point. That's.
I mean, you could say he's accidentally left-wing because he's saying we're not a democracy. It's like, that's true, because we've got the Electoral College, and so it's not a direct democracy. But it's still a form of democracy, even though it's a shitty one. But he wants less. He wants less democracy. It's not the objective. Prosperity is.
Prosperity is the objective. It's very interesting. Just the, like, we all know that they don't like democracy.
Right.
And fascists don't like democracy because if democracy existed, their ideas would be proven to be very unpopular. When the Nazis took power, they didn't, like, win the majority of the vote. They got a minority of votes. It's all selective populism is fascism. And being able to like blatantly just say like, yeah, democracy is bad. They're saying it because they know that if every single person in the country voted today and that vote was counted, Trump would lose to really badly. People actually don't like him very much.
They try so hard. I mean, I'm sure everyone is aware of like how hard Republicans try to prevent people from voting, and they've done it For a long time, it hasn't just been for Trump. Like, Trump is not the common denominator here. The attempts to disenfranchise people has been going on, well, I mean, for the entire history of America, obviously.
Yeah, one of the first sentences.
Right, right. I mean, this is not new, but we are certainly not fully franchising people. That sounds weird. I've never
fully
just
franchising. Yeah.
People, I guess it works. Anyways,
it works.
We haven't reached full franchisement, but there's certainly many attempts to disenfranchise people, which is bad. And obviously, the Electoral College being a real problem when when basically most people's votes count less than some people's votes is bad for a functional democracy.
It still really baffles me to tweet about it, though.
Yeah,
it baffles me to say that because that can't possibly play even to your base.
Feels it like does, Hail Mary, right?
It does, though.
It does, it, though.
That's the thing. It could be like a Hail Mary. It does seem just like, yeah, like here we've been like they've been building up to the reveal, right? Like,
right.
They've not really been hiding it. And it does speak to their base.
It's like the Scooby-Doo villain. They're trying to figure, like, who could it be? Who is the Flying Dutchman monster?
Right.
And then he just, like, rips off his mask and tells them, "Bah, it was me, you fools!
It's like,
fuck you
so
kids
surprised.
And your stupid dog!"
But, like, you see it in his base all the time, talking about how, like, they want an authoritarian. They want a dictator. They want somebody to crush the left. That's what they're all about. If you say, like, either, like, liberals win the presidency for 4 years or a dictator, they would choose the dictator.
Right.
Ten more years.
However many years it takes.
I'm going to read a quick thing, and we've talked about this before. Umberto Eco's Ur Fascism is a Necessary Read 5 years ago, because every single day there's an example of it. And this is this speaks to that quite a bit. And I just wanted to read this real quick. Ur-fascism is based upon a selective populism, a qualitative populism, one might say. In a democracy, the citizens have individual rights, but the citizens in their entirety have a political impact only from a quantitative point of view. One follows the decisions of the majority. For Ur-fascism, however, individuals as individuals have no rights, and the people, capital P, is conceived as a quality, a monolithic entity expressing the common will. Since no large quantity of human beings can have a common will, the leader, again, capital L, pretends to be their interpreter. Having lost their power of delegation, citizens do not act. They are only called on to play the role of the people. Thus, the people is only a theatrical fiction. To have a good instance of qualitative populism, we no longer need the Piazza Venezia in Rome or the Nuremberg Stadium. There is, in our future, a TV or internet populism in which the emotional response of a selected group of citizens can be presented and accepted as the voice of the people. I think about this every day whenever Donald Trump talks about the people.
He's our favorite president.
Because he's our favorite president, yeah.
And he loves old people. His favorite people are the seniors.
I'm a senior. Some people might say I am. That's what they call me. You know, it says it.
It is true that the Republican Party line has, up to a few days ago, been that seniors should sacrifice their lives for, mm-hmm. I guess, the stock market. I mean, there was, I don't know who it was. I think some Fox News lady was saying that seniors are selfish for wanting
yes.
to keep young people uh-huh. from going out and kids from going to school. That's right, Grandma. You want to stay alive? Then, you know, I guess screw you.
Fucking sick of these old selfish bastards.
Props to, and this
I
is
am, but
rare, props to the interviewer during that interview who was actually like visibly baffled by that woman
yeah.
who made that claim. She was like, wait, I need to clarify. You're saying,
do we know who that was?
I don't remember. She was a blonde lady.
That
okay, that had a lot. On Fox News?
But she was like, I need to circle back and like clarify. You're saying that old people during this pandemic are being selfish. That's your position. And then she's like, yeah, I think. And then she went on. And then the woman was like, okay, well, always an interesting perspective. And then she moved on.
The other side of that logically is that we're encouraging children to go out and get their parents and their grandparents sick and kill them. And that's, the kids are going to prefer that, I guess. Like, like kids would prefer to get their parents and their grandparents sick and have them die to not being able to go out. And I mean, there, it's like you can understand how terrible it is that children are having school limited. Like, that's a big deal. The fact that school-aged kids aren't getting the full school experience and elementary school students aren't getting to go to elementary school, that is a big deal. And I do actually understand the desire to figure out a way to safely try to start to get kids back to school. But the problem is we've totally screwed up the response to the point that I don't know if we can do that. And it's a huge tragedy. But then to say like, oh, then you're selfish if you don't want to die and leave your, I guess, leave your kids orphans or without grandparents so that, so it's you. Mm-hmm. Like, don't you want to, you kids want to go back to school, right? Well, if only your selfish bitch of a grandma didn't want to stay alive, if you just would kill your grandma.
Who you're lucky to be living with because, you know, the stimulus relief didn't come through, so you guys can't pay rent at your house and your parents can't go to work.
I think it's pretty tone deaf, though, because I don't think there are a lot of, I mean, first of all, it's obviously going to piss off the older people because being told you're selfish for wanting to stay alive and not die alone in a hospital from one of the worst diseases you could have in terms of like end of life care, that's not going to play with them, I don't think. And I don't think it's going to play with most young people because most of us do actually like our parents and grandparents.
The vast majority of people enjoy their grandparents.
I don't want to speak for everyone, but we often love our parents, grandparents.
You're engaging in selective populism right now, Katie. All right, you don't speak for everybody.
Probably more people love their grandparents than their parents because grandparents just get to be the fun one, you know? Anyway, we got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about a lot of things, but mostly that debate last night.
Greetings, hackers and non-hackers. Did you know that incognito mode and deleting your very normal browser history doesn't actually stop your activity from being traced? I'll assume the hackers know, but for the non-hackers out there, ExpressVPN makes sure your provider can't see those totally normal sites you have visited. Everything is routed through a shared IP address, so your normal activity is anonymized and can't be traced to you by the hackers I mentioned earlier. ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your completely normal data and works on your computer, tablet, or smartphone with a tap of a button. It's easy to use, like most things on tablets and smartphones that are for the general population, so the next time you log into www.thewebsitewherenormalwebsitesgo.delete/please delete, protect your online activity with the VPN that is this one. Visit our special link at expressvpn.com/morenews, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/morenews. expressvpn.com/morenews to learn more.
And we are back, as promised, for even more news. Hi. How was that break for you guys? Was it nice?
Are you asking us or the listeners?
Whomever. It was a rhetorical question. Let's talk about the debate, shall we?
Okay.
Oh, you seem real pumped about that.
It was exciting and interesting and learned a lot from the people talking.
Hey, Cody. Cody, shut up a second. Yeah. Uh-huh. What did you think of The Fly?
Love The Fly.
We're talking about The Fly.
That Fly had a great sense of humor.
Don't take you stick in the mud sing. Stop talking about The Fly. Let us have the damn Fly.
Let us have the damn Fly.
I'm team Fly.
You're team Fly. Are you team Fly or are you team talking about The Fly?
Yeah,
because I generally support The Fly and everything it chooses to do.
But you don't need to talk about it.
I don't support The Fly discourse.
I support The Fly discourse. Does it hurt? Yes. Is it Is the fly the Kinbone of this year? And is that a terrible thing to happen? And does it make, is it just bad in general that this is what the discourse is? Yes, of course, obviously.
Let's have
but
it.
But let's
though.
Have it. Let's just, right. You got it. When the void stares at you, you stare at the void, punch the void in the dick, and you're like, you know,
and you celebrate
soak
the
it
fly.
All in the void, soak it right up.
Okay.
I would say that anything that brings people a minute of joy is fine by me. But we don't have to keep talking about
the
fly. But let's talk about the debate.
I would like to say about the fly just that. There are many instances during debates specifically of flies being on candidates' faces and heads.
Sure.
Hillary Clinton was one of them. I believe there's an Obama photo out there. It is a bipartisan
issue. No, Obama catches the fly.
There is another clip of Obama catching the fly. It's a bipartisan issue, okay? And I think we need to be fair to both sides. And also, it doesn't beat that thing coming out of Ted Cruz's mouth that one time.
No!
It's fine. It's fine.
That's I'm against. Oh, the Thompson stone. Oh, yeah. Man. Literally every time I think about it, I lose my appetite until I forget about it again. It's so
that's a
gross.
Diet supplement. His tonsil stone.
Oh, God, no.
I do want to talk about the debate, though.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No,
Sorry. We could start with that tweet of Jon Favreau's that you mentioned, Cody.
Okay, I didn't want to make this a big deal. I think it speaks a little bit to our situation. He just tweeted, Katie, I can't believe you're putting me on the spot like this. Unbelievable. Just, isn't it nice to watch a debate without Donald Trump involved, was the tweet. And I would posit that Donald Trump was extremely involved in that debate, even though he wasn't present. Mike Pence was Donald Trump the entire time. He wasn't as visibly rude.
No, he's
or
a cleaned
obnoxious.
Up version.
Exactly. And that, I think, is the real issue where it's like the things that make Donald Trump bad aren't that he is a rude boy. That's bad, and he is a rude boy, but Pence is just as bad.
Right. He just spouted Trump talking points, but in a sort of monotonous drone, and that's good. No,
we don't want a civil, respectable version of Donald Trump.
Right,
that doesn't make things better.
It is a double-edged sword. The fact that Trump is so cartoonishly a buffoon does make it a little easier to reject some of the authoritarianism for some people, which is maybe, I mean, I don't know, overall it probably is dragging our discourse down. I mean, if again, like, maybe by this can't be our new standard, right? It can't be, oh, if you're a boring authoritarian, that's fine, that's cool. No.
Yeah. I think that's really, I wanted to start with that because I think it's a good spot to have this conversation because, yeah, he's boring, but he got to say all the things and to make the points. If you look, ultimately, he did his job. He got up there and he didn't answer questions that were actually posed. And he pivoted in a boring but graceful way every single time to whatever talking point he wanted to do. And he would just not address the things.
Yeah. It's actually it's more effective for the like authoritarianism to be the Mike Pence version. Like,
sure.
There's something about the way Trump operates and his chaotic nature, and just like, he's also a silly man. There's this long list of things that are wrong with Donald Trump, the person and his personality. And the swirling of that, the collection of all those things makes it easier for him to get away with things. It makes it easy for things to slip by in the news cycle. Cause we're on to the next thing. Mike Pence. It's weirdly like harder to pin him down. Because he's being
so
respectable
slimy.
About it. Yeah, he's being, quote, respectable and civil about it. So it doesn't seem as chaotic. I don't know.
Thank you for that question, Susan. Although he did. Also, I said this to you guys before we started recording. He still talked over Kamala a lot, you know?
Oh, sure.
He still interrupted her all the time. And look, I know that that's a part of debates, but it was pretty egregious. There were several times where he ate up her time. And, you know,
yeah.
it's just wild. It's wild to see.
But he did it in a calm, patronizing tone.
Yes. Mm. But I thought Kamala did a great job. Ultimately, I thought that she, you know, made some great points. I mean, there's stuff that I don't like that she says, but, you know.
Personally, I love fracking, so she spoke to me.
Thank God.
She really, that was exactly what I was thinking of, moments I didn't love.
I mean, that's wild. Like,
yeah, it was wild.
Like, who is she speaking to? It's
me,
so bizarre.
I love it.
Look, I know we're, like, obviously, like, we're a fracking-friendly pod, okay? This is a safe space for all the fracking fans out there. But, like, so adamant about this the entire time. It kept coming back to it and focusing on it. It's very weird that they're, like, that's their push. She even tweeted later, it's like, to be clear, he will not ban fracking. It's like, why not, first of all? People don't like fracking. Most people
Where's
support...
the fracking vote that you're chasing?
It's wild. Even in, like, in Pennsylvania, where, like, that's, like, sort of their triangulation, people generally support banning fracking. It's not an unpopular position. And framing it as such is very frustrating to see. This is just the most stark example, I think, of just constantly being attacked by Trump and the right and all these Republicans for things that are actually good. And then the Democrats going on the defense and being like, no, we actually don't like the good thing. We're with you. We hate the good thing. And it's just like this weird playing by their rules and letting them dictate the topics and like the way we talk about things. It's very frustrating.
I do like the idea of there being some extreme fans of fracking out there, and their whole thing is we're crackers for frackers. Mm-hmm. And they've got t-shirts and little hats, and maybe it shows like some fracking going on and the earth just like loving it, having sort of like blushing and sort of like, oh yeah, frack me, daddy.
Mm-hmm. Katie.
Just like a really intense subculture.
We can move on, actually.
Cool.
But like, waiting for like, I was not going to vote for Biden, but now I am.
Now I am. Crackers like, for frackers.
Really won them over. A couple other things. They both really avoided the question of about how old both of these candidates are.
Yeah.
That was cute. Let's talk a little bit about how he refused, or didn't refuse, just sidestepped out of answering the peaceful transition of power question.
It's cool and fun. I love the will they, won't they kind of thing. Of
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Will they respect democracy? Won't they? It's very fun and exciting.
It's real
rom-com
energy.
Suspense, exactly.
Yeah.
It was very... frustrating for me, as was, although predictable, his response to the Breonna Taylor question, you know, where it basically just focused on rioters and looters, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that law enforcement has an implicit bias against minorities is a grave insult, you know.
It doesn't matter, ultimately, because these debates don't really matter. Not the debates in general, mm-hmm. although... this one doesn't. Yeah.
The presidential debates don't have, I don't think they've had a huge impact on the
I don't
elections.
Think they do.
They may have, like, obviously, if, like, one of them, like, poops his pants on live, maybe, yeah, I don't know. But definitely not the VP debates.
At the same time, it's just, it's emblematic of a lot of issues, I think, with the Democratic Party in general, and how they approach these conversations in a public forum. Like even Katie, you mentioned a couple of times where Pence didn't answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
And he did
all the time.
He did a bunch all the time. And I feel like Sam Cedar maybe pointed this out, where like something that's actually very valuable. Mike Pence said that Kamala didn't answer the question at one point. When he asked about packing the court, Pence said she didn't answer the question. First of all, he asked the question. That was his question. It wasn't the moderator's question, but he said a couple of times she didn't answer the question. He didn't answer the question many times throughout, and she didn't mention that. And stuff like that, where it's like, if you say that he didn't answer the question, people will be like, oh, yeah, he didn't. Because people don't, because politicians are good at maneuvering around those things and making it seem like they're answering it when they're not. But once it's pointed out that they didn't, then you see it. And I think that it would be more valuable to things like that. There were a couple other things, just like pointing out, like little bits, like when whenever anyone, this has not happened yet, whenever anyone, any of these people, Pence said they tried to impeach the president. Actually, sir, they did impeach the
president. They did impeach the president.
Nobody said that. He alluded to, he's like, oh, they tried to impeach the president for a phone call. No, they did. He was impeached. Stuff like that. Also, one thing I wanted to bring up about the Proud Boys, I don't know how actually effective it is in terms of like communicating the problem to people to just continually say he doesn't condemn these white supremacist groups. Because that turns into this bizarre, like weird lie of like, well, he actually did, but he didn't. Like that conversation is very chaotic. Because the real issue is, you can ask him over and over, are you going to condemn this group? Are you going to condemn this group? And he'll flounder, and then he'll ultimately say like, yeah, sure, why not? As if that's like an emphatic condemnation. But the issue is, does he understand why these groups are attracted to him?
I'm sure he does.
Well, I'm sure he does, but I've never seen anyone, whether it be a politician or a journalist, in talking to like Mike Pence or Trump or anybody, be like, but regardless of whether or not he condemns them, they support him.
And why is that?
Why is that? These groups are gravitating towards Donald Trump, and that is objectively true. Like, you can look at that. That is true. So not only is that a problem, explore that, but why do you think that is? And I think that's a more effective angle. And it's a way of talking about the issue that I don't think Mike Pence is prepared to delve into.
Or even saying, what do you disagree with the Proud Boys on? Because it seems like you agree on them on a lot of things. Like,
exactly.
It's a simple, straightforward question that's hard to work your way around.
Right. And like, not like, do you condemn them? But like, why would you condemn them?
Yeah.
Like, explain, like, use your words. Explain a little more.
Like, if you did, why?
And to combine both questions, it would be, you know, the Proud Boys, despite you saying you might condemn them, you know, sure, why not? They don't seem to get the message because they still support you and they still see your words as a call to action. I mean, see the news about the Michigan governor kidnapping plot. Like this domestic terrorist group of, I guess, who are they? Like, they're not necessarily Proud Boys, but some far right wing domestic terrorist group tried to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
Oh, I believe Robert was tweeting about that being the Boogaloo.
As the Boogaloo.
Yeah, I forget the group they are.
But and that was after Trump tweeted liberate Michigan. And so as a reporter, you could say proud, you know, these far right wing groups seem to take direction from you and seem to interpret your words to be calls to violence. Why are they wrong about that? And why do you disagree with them? And why do you think they see you as their leader?
Exactly. And he will either not understand and not be able to explain that.
He would absolutely not answer that. Like,
right. But like, that's the kind of thing that you can point to and be like, see, as opposed to like the back and forth, like he said to condemn, but he said sure. He said like that thing I don't think is helpful. But like what you're talking about is like that's how you
sure
address that
whatever
issue.
Thing is the classic bully thing of the teacher telling the bully, now apologize to the kid you just punched. And then they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, whatever.
We are running out of time for today. But Cody, I know you wanted to talk about this ExxonMobil story.
Yeah, Just briefly, one more thing, because and this is just more confirmation of these things. ExxonMobil, Bloomberg broke that they have plans to like up drilling, basically.
Yep.
And internally, they assessed that it would increase yearly emissions by 17%. And that's just like their knowledge. They knew that, they wrote it down, and they still plan to move forward with that. And that is just another instance of that, because all of these companies knew decades and decades ago and funded think tanks to make studies to try to see doubt and deny that this was happening. They all knew it's the cigarette companies. They're killing people knowingly. It's disgusting. We should take all of their money and put some people in jail. And I just wanted to bring attention to that because it's messed up. And but again, it's like par for the course. And it's one of those things that'll be sort of slipped under the radar. And it kind of has to do with an issue that keeps coming up whenever climate change is brought up at these debates, which is very rarely. Whenever climate change is brought up, when it's a Democrat and a Republican talking about it together, Democrats are always talking about how, like, well, you don't believe in science. You don't believe in climate change and this and this and this. They do. They believe in it. They know that it's real. They're lying, and they've been lying for decades and decades about it. It's their whole thing.
It's a death cult. I know that maybe we use that word too much, but it is, because they understand. They understand that these things will happen. And I remember, when was it? There was like this internal memo in the Department of Transportation that was essentially like, yeah, climate change is man-made and it's like carbon emissions worsens it, but there's nothing we can do about it now, so we'll just ride it out. But it's like that, except they know they can still do stuff about it. They just don't care. They know they're probably not going to live long enough to see the effects that it causes, and they don't care because don't feel empathy. And that's, you know,
and they get theirs.
They get theirs. They can, you know, protect their self-interest.
Yeah.
Their children will have the bunkers that they're making.
They're hoarding money and supplies and resources while they can.
Yeah. It's just true. This was kind of like I wanted to do before the whole COVID situation erupted. I wanted to do a follow-up on like how the, you know, checking back in with the rich. And I feel like this is one thing that we should also maybe cover sometime.
It's related. Like, it's very, very similar.
Note this for that.
but like it's just very frustrating. And I am really tired of just seeing everybody in this public conversation, whenever they're on television or anything, buy into the lie that they don't believe in it. Because they do, and they have, and they still do. Literally, and I'm not gonna like fault anybody for not catching this on the fly and pointing it out. All right.
Oh,
okay. We're bleeping that word, I swear. But
no, we are.
At one point, Mike Pence was talking about climate change, and they've graduated to saying like, well, the climate is changing, and then he moves on, and his whole thing is like, well, the climate's changing. But he denies that it's man-made. His whole thing is like, we know, sure, it's happening, but we don't know why. That's what he said last night. We don't know why. In the same section that he's talking about bragging that they have reduced carbon emissions, those two things are in conflict with each other. You can't not know what the cause is and also proudly say you're reducing carbon emissions, because that means you know that carbon emissions is what is causing it and affecting it.
It's like your roommate going like, look, I don't know who's been beefing out some real chunky farts lately. I will reduce the amount of Qdoba that I eat, but look, we just don't know who's doing
it. But we don't know. I'm going to do all the things that would mean that I do, but I don't.
It's also like the president saying, I beat COVID, I'm so strong, and at the same time, don't worry about COVID, it's no big deal.
Yes.
Yeah, we're used to it.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
It's grotesque.
It's another one of those things, like, bring this up, please. Bring it up to their faces.
It's actually sort of hard to catch a lie when it's basically in the same sentence. It is difficult. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Again, yeah, absolutely. And, like, I'm not, like, faulting anybody for, like, you know, you're watching it from home, and you're like, oh, did he say that? And you do your thing. But like,
then you're missing everything else that happened.
But like, bring it up later, or like it would be helpful if people in the room had this perspective and like approach to it. And we're like waiting for that, right? Because it's not new.
Prepared enough to
But that's
to have that information when they ask the question and guide the conversation,
right. And expect these answers. Yeah.
And when you miss these contradictions, this like endless flow of contradictions and lies, it's because, you know, that's basically how propaganda functions. Like when you watch a commercial for something and you're like, oh, I hate this commercial. And then a month later, you're like, oh, I heard like this toothpaste brand was good or something. And it's because the commercial like implanted itself in your brain. Doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean you're like ignorant. It just, that's how effective propaganda works. And so when there are contradictions in the same breath, but done in just kind of slipping it in there, it's It is actually very effective. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means that, you know, you are listening to propaganda. I'm tired of the metaphor of like some being in like a toxic relationship or something, but it is kind of like that, like when you're in a toxic relationship it's definitely overused, that metaphor, but it is I think in this case where it's like, you know, basically within the same sentence you're told a lie, like two lies that contradict each other, and then you're like trying to like find kind of like trips you. Right, exactly. Like when you have like two opposing lies, you're like, wait, what about, no, that's not right, and then it's hard to catch the other lie. So mm-hmm. you know, right. it's very sneaky, it's very insidious, par for the course.
Yeah, and it's I think people need to be more ready for this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I think that does it for us today. Biden's ahead in the polls. That's something to be helpful for. Katie, tell our listeners where they can check you out.
Yeah, I mean, as always on the Some More News channel, I just wrote a cool thing about how it freaking rules that Trump has COVID on the channel and other scripts as well, or other episodes as well. You can also find me on Creature Feature, which is a podcast on iHeartRadio where I actually talk about animals. It's
great.
Not typically very politics heavy. Like there's rarely any politics at all. So it is kind of fun just to like get a little bit of a break, talk about some animals. I like to talk about animals' butts and their weird mating habits, and it's all very educational, based in science and evolutionary biology and human psychology. So it's a fun time. And you can find me on Twitter at Katie Golden, that's KATIEGOLDIN, to see my Katie thoughts, my cool fly memes. And as always, I am at Pro Bird Rights, which is, you know, my attempt to inform the public of birds being, well, you know, they will be our rulers someday. So we might as well get used to it now.
Check out all of it. You won't be disappointed. All of those things. And she's right. The birds will be our overlords one day soon. And before I go, I just want to let you know that we love you very much.